that Spanish church I visited a few weeks ago down there in Tampa, they were singing that. Except they were singing it in Spanish. Great song. How great is our God? And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. One little note, the Palmers got off on Friday. They should be in the Seattle area, Tacoma area this weekend. They hope to have some more time with Chad tomorrow before flying out toward Japan on Tuesday, and from there to Singapore, where they will be for a few days, and then back to Manado in Indonesia. So pray for them this week. A few weeks ago, I brought a message about the value of an empty vessel and how we're just vessels. And this kind of ties into that. This is kind of a sequel, and this will probably conclude this, but it's kind of like part two a few weeks later. But jars of clay, and instead of having a responsive reading today, we just have a text. Shall we stand in order in honor of God's word? And it's printed at the top of the sermon notes here, 2 Corinthians 4:7. And God's word says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that You have placed something in us that is beyond description. And Father, we are so privileged to be walking around bearing this which You have placed within us. And Lord, today we want to be good exhibitors of Your grace. And so we pray that You will just speak to us today and impress on us not only the importance, but the possibility of being good exhibitors for You every single day. And that this really is not about us because we're just vessels of clay, but this is about the treasure that You have placed within us. Take now Your word and use it in our lives in practical ways, we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to follow the sermon notes and fill in the blanks, now would be the time to get that. And if later on you would like to hear this message or you would like to see the expanded version of the notes, just go to sncc.org and that will take you there. The Apostle Paul here is talking about the treasure that God has placed within us. And he's been talking here about the ministry that God had given him and about the gospel and about the preaching of the gospel and so forth. And he says that God has made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And then he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." This overwhelmingly great power. We have it. He says so. And it has been deposited in us. So we need not to think that we were just saved so that we would get to heaven, or that we were just saved so we would escape hell. But what happens in between? And yes, we have struggles, and the Lord wants to help us with those, and sometimes maybe even doubts, and the Lord wants to help us with those. But He wants us to be so full of Himself that what He has deposited in us, that we would be able to live in victory, and not only that, but that His power at work in our lives, yes, right in the middle of all the stuff, would be so evident that He would be getting glory continuously, and that others would be able to see that treasure displayed in us and through us. So let's just talk a little bit today about jars of clay. And by the way, jars of clay, or as it says in the King James, earthen vessels, were something that Paul's writers understood well, because in virtually every household in the Roman Empire, earthen vessels were used for all kinds of things on a daily basis, both to keep treasure, to keep documents. I think they have found ancient manuscripts in jars of clay, hidden in caves, oil, liquids, flour, you name it. I mean, this was the commodity of the day. They have found sunken vessels in the Mediterranean Sea containing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these earthen vessels that bore in, within them the merchandise that was on its way to a particular market. So when he says an earthen vessel, he's talking about something, you know, today we're like, oh yeah, I saw that in a picture somewhere. But earthen vessels were what every person probably that Paul was writing to was familiar with. When we got to Cuba, they still used earthen vessels for their drinking water. And I don't know how many gallons they would hold, but they were about this high, and they were shaped like the jars. And down there, they call them tinajas. And I found out when I went back this January after 47 years, that's gone away now, and they don't use them. But at the time we were there, it was still, when we got to the little town where my parents did their work, they said, the first thing you got to do is get a tinaja. We're like, what's that? Well, it's this thing you put your water in. So we went across the street to a little grocery store, and up there on the shelves, he had them. And I don't remember how much it cost, but we got it and took it home. And you were supposed to wash it real good inside and also wash it outside. And then we would keep our drinking water in there, and it would keep it nice and cool. In that hot, humid climate, there's just enough seepage that happens through the clay vessel that it causes a cooling effect on the water. And so that's why, and it had a little stand, and you could tilt it. And so that's about the extent of what I know about earthen vessels. But they were a very, very common thing in that day. So just to put that in context. But let's talk a little bit about clay jars. Number one, clay jars are ordinary. There's nothing, you know, I know that China and all that, we're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about the regular old run-of-the-mill clay vessels. There is nothing remarkable about it. There's nothing particular appealing about it. There's nothing remarkable about it at all. These bodies we're in, that's what the Lord says. You know, these teenage girls, they look at that young guy with the muscles and her stuff, and they're like, oh, oh. And the guys, they see that girl, and they're like, oh, they're just clay jars, folks. Number two, clay jars are fragile. And if you don't believe that, just drop one from the second or third story. And whatever, they're kind of fragile. And I see enough sick people that I understand that these clay jars that we're living in today, they are rather fragile, are they not? And things can happen mighty quick. Number three, clay jars are often imperfect. They function and they do the job, but if you were to put them under the magnifying glass like Bennett had a while ago, and you look at it, there might be little imperfections in it, and guess what? In spite of the imperfections, people use them anyway. Number four, clay jars have little intrinsic value. So the clay jar itself, like I said, we went across the street. I don't know what we paid for it, but it wasn't very much. Don't have a lot of intrinsic value. The value and desirability of clay jars lie chiefly in their utility. In other words, what they can be used for. And so people don't buy them because they're pretty. People don't buy them because necessarily because they're perfect. People buy them because they are useful for holding stuff. Now, let's do some spiritual applications here quickly. Number one, God has chosen to put His treasure in clay jars. We are those clay jars. And we'll talk in a minute about what that treasure is. But God Himself has chosen not something remarkable and out of the ordinary, but God has chosen that which is fragile, often imperfect, and very ordinary, in order to deposit the greatest treasure that exists in the universe. Think about that for a minute. And that tells us something about God. Number two, the treasure God has deposited in us is the riches of His grace in the person of His Son. Read a few verses here. What if God, choosing to show His wrath and make His power known, bore with great patience the objects of His wrath prepared for destruction? What if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to the objects of His mercy? That would be us, who know the Lord Jesus, whom He prepared in advance for glory, even us, whom He also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. He says to the Ephesians, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. That is what He has deposited in us. Writing again to the Ephesians, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Here it is. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be display pieces for Him, not only now, but even in the ages to come. He's going to say, look at what my grace can do. Further on, he says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this ministry. Further down to Ephesians, he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So he wants his complete fullness to be expressed in and through each and every one of those that he has purchased by his blood. Moving down a little further now, writing to the Philippians. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, and He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. Now, moving down, and we're getting close to the end here of these verses. He says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints." Now here it is. This is one of the most powerful ones of all these. "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope or expectation of glory." And then in Colossians 2, 1 to 3, "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Where are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that God has? Where are they hidden? In Christ. And Christ is living in you and in me, unless we don't know Him. And so, by extension, His fullness. And that is the treasure. That is the treasure. This is such a treasure. Listen, folks, this is the same Spirit that indwells us that raised Jesus from the dead, it says in Romans 8. This is a message of salvation and redemption. We bear in us, you and me, we ordinary rank and file believers, we bear inside of us the greatest treasure in the world. It is a treasure that can take a sinner and turn him into a saint. Can I hear an amen? It is a treasure that can set somebody free from the power of sin and totally change their lives and turn it around. It is a treasure so great and so powerful that it can literally erase all of our sins and indeed make us ready for heaven and to be received into the presence of God. That is the treasure. The message of the gospel, the transforming message of the gospel in Christ, that is what we carry and bear inside of us, and He has placed it in us, not so that it can be concealed, but so that it can be seen by the rest of the world, so that it can be put on display. So let's move on. Number three, God has chosen to use clay jars for displaying His treasure to the world. He's put it in us, but not so we can put the lid on it so that it can't be seen. But rather, maybe you've seen some pictures. I think I have over the years of, like, I don't know, what, a pirate's cave or something. But they have like that, like a big earthen vessel. It's just filled with diamonds and gold and glittering things. And it's there and you can see it. And your eyes are drawn immediately to the treasure and not to the vessel that holds it. And that's the way God wants it to be. God has chosen to use clay jars for displaying His treasure to the world. Therefore, we are much more than recipients of His grace. Yes, we are recipients of His grace. Have you received the grace of God? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you experienced the forgiveness of sins and all that, then you have experienced His grace. But we are much more than recipients of His grace. We are walking and talking showcases of His grace. And that's what the witness and that's what the testimony is about. So when you go to work, you are a showcase for His grace. When you go to ODU or Norfolk State or Wesleyan College or any of the universities that you study at and you go into the classroom, you go in there as a showcase of His grace. If you live on campus, when you go into the dorm, you go into that dorm as a showcase of His grace. And so everywhere we go, just our lives are showcases of His wonderful grace. Number four, just as the value of a clay jar comes from its use and purpose, that's where the value of a clay jar comes from. Its use and its purpose, and not from the jar itself. So our worth as believer lies in the purpose to which God has called us and not in our own worthiness, ability, or human achievement. Now, you know, as earthly people, we like to recognize certain things, and especially if it's in our children, we like to, you know, acknowledge their ability and their intelligence and all of that. But in the kingdom of God, none of that is worth very much. And the thing that really makes us of value to the Lord, now when we yield it to Him, He's going to use it for His purposes. But if I'm highly intelligent and I haven't yielded that to the Lord for His purposes, guess what? My intelligence can actually be a stumbling block so that I rationalize instead of believing the Lord. Can I hear an amen? I mean, it's true. What about if the Lord has gifted me in the area of music and I go out and I'm playing for the world instead of using that talent that the Lord has put in me in order to glorify Him? There are people that are good with people. Now, I can use that in order to influence people for the Lord, or I can use that in order to manipulate people and to get my own way. So all of these things that we look at and like, that is so wonderful. If it's not yielded to God, it's not wonderful. In fact, it is working contrary to His purposes. No, 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 no. The thing that is of value is the thing that He has put in me, His marvelous grace. And then when whatever else He's placed in me is bathed in His grace, set apart and sanctified by His grace, saturated and permeated by His grace, then those can work in conjunction with His grace to bring honor and glory to Him. But just as the value of a clay jar comes from its use and purpose, and not from the jar itself, so our worth as believers lies in the purpose to which God has called us, and not in our own worthiness, ability, or human achievement. Just like the jar of clay, without the treasure we were made to hold and display, we are nothing but an empty bit of pottery. Jesus said to His disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. Number five, the value and beauty of the treasure is in no way diminished by the fact that it is on display in earthen vessels. In fact, the ordinariness of the earthen vessel simply serves to accentuate the beauty and value of the treasure itself. And I am so glad that is the way that it is. And that's the way the Lord wanted it to be. And so He has taken His treasure and He has put it in ordinary earthen vessels so that people's eyes will be drawn to the treasure and not to the earthen vessels. We live in a day, and I know it was true in Paul's day, when there are many who are followers of vessels instead of followers of the treasure. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Followers of men. Now, Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He said that. But he wasn't trying to get people. He says, what are Paul and what are Apollos? You all are taking sides and stuff and becoming partisan and all kinds of things over personalities. And it's not right, and it's tearing your church apart, and you need to get rid of that junk, and you need to get unified again. That's what he told them. He said, what are Paul and what are Apollos except servants by whom you came to know the word? And I came, and I planted, and Apollos came behind me, and he watered, but God gave the increase. And so we need to get back to focusing on the treasure and not on the vessels. Number 6, God's purpose in displaying His grace in us is that others in turn may become clay jars holding and displaying His treasure as they see it and as they embrace it for themselves. And the wonderful news is that God's treasures are inexhaustible. They are infinite. So if somebody sees His treasure in me or in you, and they say, you know, you've got something. Maybe some of you have had somebody come to you sometime. I know I've heard a lot of Christians that somebody came and they said, "You, there's something different about you. I'd like to know more about it." Well, let me tell you all about it. And then you begin to share the message. And then as they embrace the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get the Lord Jesus Christ, you get everything He is. You might want to write that down. And everything that He has. When you get Jesus, you get everything that He is, and you get everything that He has. And so as they understand it and they embrace it for themselves, they in turn now become an earthen vessel with the treasure in them as well, so that they then can go out and become a showcase of His grace. And that is literally how He wants to do it. And listen, because the vessel is ordinary and fragile and maybe even has a few imperfections in it. You know, I've heard that one before. Well, I don't know if I could. I've still got this, or I've got that, or I've got the other. Well, whatever. I mean, if it's a real obstacle to His work, then get rid of it. That's called sin. Okay? That's called sin. So then you come to Him and you say, Lord, cleanse me of this in my life because I want to be of better service to you. But if it's because you don't have a certain level of education, or if it's because you're not gifted a certain way and you see other people in the church that you think are more gifted than you are, and you start saying, well, I don't think, listen, it's not about you, it's about the treasure that's in you. And so the fact that I may not be, you know, that's neither here nor there. He wants to display His treasure through every single one of us. And He will. All we've got to do is just be aware of it and made available to Him. So He doesn't have any favorites. And if I want more of Him, He'll let me have more. And if I want to be used more, He'll let me be used more. Amen? Regardless. Listen, there are people that have been blind and have preached the gospel. There are people that have been in wheelchairs. How many have heard the name of Johnny Erickson Tada in a wheelchair? Is that a fragile vessel? And yet, how has God used that vessel? There's one from our own area, Dick Woodward, who pastored Virginia Beach Community Chapel and became paraplegic. And he came here one time when Nelson Hodges was here and came up on this platform in his little cart. He can't do that anymore. He is so completely paralyzed that as he lays in bed, when someone comes to visit him, he says, would you pick up my hand and move it over here for me, please? And yet that man has the treasure in him. And his mini Bible college has been translated, I believe, into more than 20 languages and is heard to a potential audience of something like 2 billion people a day. And he's laying there completely paralyzed in his bed. Now, that's an extreme example. But how many of us are paralyzed and laying in a bed, and yet God is able to use that man to touch the lives of millions right now, today, as we speak here? And if God can use a Dick Woodward, you know, in that kind of a state, can he use you? Can he use me? And as you think even of ways you might serve here in the church, don't let the imperfection. If it's sin, then deal with it. Confess it, get rid of it, and then move on. But if it's because you feel you're lacking this or you're lacking that, don't limit the Lord, because it's not about you. It's what He can do through you, because it's what He's put in you that is going to make the difference anyway. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It is an absolute fact. And I am so glad. Because if it wasn't that way, then indeed I might be left out. I'd say, well, I'm just an ordinary vessel. I guess I can't do much for the Lord. I guess I'm going to kind of be over here on the shelf. I'm going to kind of be over here on the sideline. But no, he chooses all of us the same. And now he's gifted us in certain areas or whatever. But so far as that, he will use every single one of me. He doesn't turn anybody away, and he doesn't say to anybody, no, I can't use you because you got a little nick or a scratch on you. The Lord doesn't do that. He wants to work, and he wants to shine through every single one of us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that it really isn't. If we're going out on our own strength and we fall flat on our faces, of course, we're going to say, I don't guess I'll ever try that again. But if we're going out in your strength and we're just doing what you tell us to do and we're just letting you shine through us, whether the people receive it or whether they don't receive it, that doesn't determine our success, because at least the treasure was put on display for them to see. And so, Lord, help us daily to work that way, to work in your strength, to work in your power, to work in what you have placed in us, to work in what you can do through us, and not be depending on what we can do, because we can't do anything. Because without your treasure in us, at work in us, we're nothing but an empty, ordinary earthen pot. But with your treasure in us, that treasure is what will transform lives around us. And it's what will make a difference. And it's what will also, because we contain it, it will fill us with joy as well, even in the midst of the hardest times. Your treasure is the greatest treasure that's ever been put on this earth. Help us to understand the value of what you have put in us. Never underestimate it. And never downplay it. And to understand that our own little imperfections here and there do not inhibit your treasure being put on display. Actually, sometimes it actually enhances it, because people's attention then is drawn to the treasure and not to us. Thank you for loving us enough that though we are fragile, though we are ordinary, and though we are imperfect, you have chosen to put your treasure in us. We thank you, Lord. We're humbled by that. And we really do want your treasure to be put on display for everybody to see. That's my prayer today for me, and it's my prayer for all of our congregation and Christians everywhere. Work in our hearts, O Lord, and use us for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you haven't embraced this treasure, if you haven't embraced this Jesus as your Savior, you can do that today before you leave this place. And you can be the clay jar that has that treasure on display. If you have anything on your heart during this closing hymn, feel free to come and share it. We would love to pray with you.